going into our School of the Spirit service tonight. And as we do so, let's just bow our heads to pray. Father, we want to thank you again for this great honor. We assemble not unto ourselves, but unto you, the living God. We come to say thank you for being here with us, for helping us, Lord, as we assemble tonight. I in particular come thanking you for this great privilege to bring the word again. And I'm trusting you for great mercy. I strip myself totally, completely, entirely of every confidence I might have in myself, my ability to bring forth the word. My confidence is not in any of that. I only have confidence for your mercy. The Lord, as I strip myself, you will also anoint me afresh, Lord, with the power of your Spirit, and grant me mercy to be an effectual, Lord, minister of this word. As I speak, Lord God, by your anointing upon me, the word will go forth in power, in accuracy, yet in simplicity and in the love and the comfort of your Spirit. As I speak, I will not speak from myself, but rather it will cause there to be a free course of your word from you through me, Lord, to all the people that will hear this word, whether here physically, myself included, or later on by electronic means. That wherever this word goes in all the earth, the power of your Spirit, Lord, will back these words, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing men, Lord God, not to be hearers only, but to be doers of the things that they shall hear in the name of Jesus. As I speak, you will help me, Lord. So I will redeem the time, be concise and precise, so I will not say anything that's unnecessary. And as I speak, Lord, your power and presence will fill the air, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble and submitted to your will, and also our emotions to be tempered even further, controlled by the precious fruit of your Spirit, especially the fruit of divine love. I'm asking, Lord God, as I speak, you'll help me, Lord God, to duck under the anointing of my fathers. I humble myself under their anointings, and I ask you will help me to preach this word, to teach and to deliver this word as they would what they hear personally. So that, Lord, the word will go forth as a river of refreshing, bringing refreshing life to all that hear it, but especially to them that as they drink and eat of this vine that they have planted, please let them be satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, Father, because you are faithful. You will not lie to David. That word that has gone forth out of your mouth, you're well able to perform. So we thank you for doing exceeding abundantly tonight, above all that we can ask or can think. We pray, ask, and receive in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all the people say, amen and amen. Praise the Lord tonight. We want to thank God again for his great mercy upon us. A word of exhortation. This is the time for exhortation. That's as much the more so as you see the day approaching. Amen. And it's a word which I bring by the help of the Holy Spirit, which is an offshoot of something which the Lord has been dealing with me personally. Amen. The Lord has been comforting me. Amen. Bringing me personal comfort and wisdom and direction in spite of and despite myself. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe, somewhere there, where it says that we should comfort one another by the comfort whereof we ourselves are comforted. So by the comfort God has comforted us, we also should comfort one another. And so when I was believing God for a word for tonight, I believe the Lord spoke to my heart in different ways and, brought this up. And so I'm sharing this word to comfort us in our tribulation or our trials and testing. And we trust that you will receive great comfort indeed. Amen. And also, because I believe that we have entered a new season. I am totally convinced of that. There's so many, manifestations. The word has been coming, particularly the word last Sunday. So many things are happening all at the same time. And it's like there's a synchrony of events and the word together that has convinced me personally. And I'm sure that many of us are convinced also that we have entered a brand new season. If you want proof, remember, March? This is April, right? Remember April the 28th. Was it April the 20th when we voted presidential election? Yeah. That, to me, was the beginning of a new season. I mean, the peace, the dominion, we're talking about on Sunday, the dominion of peace, the dominion of righteousness, that we saw when we voted for the presidential election, even beyond then also, is to me a great pointer that we have entered a new season. Particularly the drama. I remember the drama at INEC announcements when this gentleman from Niger Delta was trying to stir up, you know, strife. That was unprecedented calmness in the face of storm. The chairman of INEC, Professor Jega, I was looking at the man. The man was totally unperturbed. That is not natural. That is supernatural. And that tells me that, folks, by the grace of Almighty God, we have entered a new season in this church and in this land, Nigeria. Amen. The dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy throughout the land, despite that. Now, if you remember when we were praying, Mommy gave us the word, the prophet gave the word, it says that we'll have rest in a storm. There will be occasional storm, occasional kicking up of dust here and there. That will take place. Amen? Because the devil is not going to, he's not going to just stand by. But in the midst of all that, we have rest. That rest is not natural. It's a supernatural rest. It's a supernatural peace that has been enforced by the power of God through his Zion church. Amen. So we saw all this happen. Now, in the midst of all this wonderful rest, in the midst of all this wonderful thing that's going on through the church, through the prayers of the Zion church, and all the 7,000 have not bowed to the knees of Baal. It's not just the Zion church. The others who are praying too, maybe not praying at the same level we have revelation to pray as, or pray by, or pray with. But praying nonetheless, and God uses everything, puts everything together like Pastor taught us, you know, in synchrony, and it brings forth his purpose. So, in the midst of all this new season and everything, I had an experience. Something quite unusual happened to me. And when I begin to say, you see why I say it's unusual, because it's not something that, you know, I don't think it's ever happened before. If it has, I can't remember, but I don't think it's ever happened before. I had a very unusual experience, which the Lord is now using as a primer for this particular message. I had what I call a Psalm 73 experience. People are looking at Psalm 73. Where's Psalm 73? Psalm 73. Everybody knows Psalm 73. Now, I don't get around very much. I mean, you know, I stay in Baden a lot. But that's okay. I mean, I'm used to it. It's been many years. I don't get to move around much. And I believe that's part of the discipline, you know. John the Baptist, the Bible says, was in the desert to the day of his showing. Amen. Our forefather David was in the deserts. Amen. He was running from Adullam to Ziklag to all over the place. Amen. Same with, who else was there? Joseph. Joseph was in the pit. Was in prison until the day of his showing. He went straight from prison to prime minister. Now that is supernatural. What do I say? I'm saying, you know, being in one place is not a difficult thing for me. I'm used to it. I even enjoy it because I believe and I understand it's part of the training for reigning. There was one book we had some years ago. Remember the book, Pastor? Yeah. You know, training for reigning is not done in public. It's done always in the background, in the boondocks. Moses spent 40 years in the desert. And that's how it's been. So, I understand it. But occasionally, Yoruba. So, occasionally, God makes it possible for us to go out. And I went out, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and then this last week. And I went to two different places and heard and saw things which were not lawful. That's a joke. What I mean, I saw things that made me say, ha! I said, God, what? You know, let me explain. And this is important in the light of Sunday's message. Sunday's message, you need to hear that. Very, very important message. We talked to the pastor, was talking about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is very significant for now. So what did I see? What did I come across? What gave me that Psalm 73 experience? Two things. Number one, I was somewhere. Pastor, well, this is blowing my mind. I was sharing with, I think it was Laulu. I can't remember who. I was sharing with, I said, these things amaze me. I was somewhere and we went to see somebody. And this person had just built a house. And the house was finished. So, you know, out of curiosity, we just asked, how come? Yeah, this is beautiful. This is great. This is something I wish I didn't ask. And the guy said, well, the land cost 40 million naira. I almost fell over. I said, what? He said, 40 million. I said, instead of leaving it there, just the land. Instead of leaving it there, you know. I was listening again. And he said, I knew just about, I was saying about another 80. Yeah, I was saying it was like 80,000 naira. 80 million naira. I said, what? I mean, I didn't say it, my face was straight. I was really, you know, we used to that. We understand, you know. But inside, I was like, what are you talking about? This place is 120 million naira, standing bus. But so the next question, of course, I didn't ask you, said, where did you get the money? Now, this was even a Christian. I, what? 120 mil? This whole, our whole church here, I'm not sure it cost that for everything. For one house. Well, it was actually, it was like a duplex, you know, and he was going to rent some, sell some, blah, 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 etc. Then we now went across, same people, went across to another house. I said, this one is there. This one too, this was a three-story building. At three levels, one, two, three. I'm not even going to tell you how much that one cost. But my point was that, God, oh boy, I didn't even know they grew, no. All of you are looking at me like, it never happened to you before. Everything has only passed away. They didn't even know they grow, no. These people don't grow. They don't know. Here's 120 million sitting bus. Done deal. More than, because the other one, I'm not going to even tell you how much that one costs. But anyway, I said, well, okay, praise God. I'm telling you, hey folks, I'm just being very honest. The thing, it made me think. I said, Lord, I mean, we are serving you now. Growing day by day. We'll see all that. Anyway, that was number one. Then, as a twofold witness, you know, it is, you know how the devil brings these things in, you know, just to get me more. I went to a function and I met one of my aburos, real aburo, because when he was a baby, you know, and we used to go to their dad's house, we were very good friends. He used to fall asleep on my lap every night. He would come, sit in my lap. So there's someone like Angela, you know, and that was how he was at then. But I saw this guy, he's a big boy. You know, I said, nah, the guy's about 40, he's almost 40, yeah, 40. Big boy. I said, how you doing now? You know, he was Dobale. But you know, I mean, I hugged him, he was very happy, but I saw that levels don't change. Everybody's laughing at me. This is like, can you imagine Angela or somebody in that, you know, like someone Zado, Andrew's son, you know? And then the guy's all grown up. And I'm looking at these guys, what happened to you? You know, they say, in Yoruba, I say, it's where the Agbalagba is that the young one will come and meet them. So I said, how are you? Anyway, to cut a long story short, so this guy, when we now go to reception, the guy drives in this monster Jeep. And not only that, all of his friends also come in these heavy automobiles. Some of them brought G-Wagon. These are guys that are not 40 years old. I'm 58. They were driving, and I said, are these not the little children? I'm telling you this, I'm being honest. I don't think any one of you has ever had that experience before. So, but this is Pastor Wigga now telling you and downloading you what exactly happened. There's a reason for everything. Eh? So I was like, then I kept on. I now finished and I left the reception early. And I stepped out of the hall onto the, what do they call it? The roundabout, you know, it was in Cultural Center, University of Ipadan. So I just stepped out. Oh boy, come and see Jeep. But I said, everybody there except me brought Jeep. And I saw this sea of Jeep, they just lined the thing up. The car park was full of black Jeeps. I'm like, where in the world did all these people get these cars from? Everybody came with a Jeep. And mostly they were young guys, like this, my son. So I can call him my son, he was a baby. And I was looking, I said, Lord, what is going on here? And of course, my own little car just came, and I just sat down there. I've never before been intimidated by that thing. But for the first time, I said, ah, God, isn't these people, what are they doing that we are not doing? It's like, are you laughing now? But this is it. I'm telling you the truth. Maybe all of you have never, maybe Pastor Wigga is backslidden. Everybody looking at me funny. Nobody else. I'm a Pastor Wigga, actually backslide. You know, we are facing God. You know, I didn't know what was going on. So what am I saying? All these young Turks, these boys, big boys and little boys, you know, with their, you know, that thing they put on, what do they call that thing? They put on the ear like this thing, knocks here, and they're rapping and they're talking. And boy, my teeth are grinding. I was feeling quite old, but I'm not old in Jesus. My youth is renewed. But you know what I mean? So I said, Lord, if I was sharing, I think it was Laulu, I was sharing. I said, this thing, I saw this thing. See, I've never felt this. It has never happened before. That's why I know it's a new season. That's why I know it. But it has never, I can't remember ever feeling that or being intimidated by what somebody else has. I can't remember. So this was like, you know, so this Psalm 73, let's start with Psalm 73. So you see how I was feeling. And thank God it's scriptural. Hello? Amen. Even in the corner? I mean, it's not only me. It wasn't. It's a scriptural thing. David, thank you. I'm the son of David now. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 73. Start from there. And you see exactly what I now understand by revelation. What David was going through that time. Look what it says. Psalm 73 verse 1 said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as have a clean heart. Very true. Pure motive. But as for me, hello somebody, tell your neighbor, as for me. This is not your portion. My feet not quite. My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh ceased. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I mean, that day I was... You know, the thing that bothered, I kept thinking about was, are we saying that the reward, all these years of reward, these people have even, you know, gotten them? And because it's like, you know, I'm looking for somebody in the church, I mean, who has that level of, I mean, to just splurge 100 million like that, bass, on one building, one. I don't know, maybe they exist too, but let me say, I have never seen them. I'm sure you have seen many like that. Amen? But for me, I'm telling the truth. So I said, look what it says. Verse 3. So for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity. For there are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued. Neither are they like other men. Therefore, pride, and that's where it begins, compasses them around the chain. Violence covers them. Their eyes have more. Stand out with fatness. They have more than heart. These are the people that David was looking at. And I believe I saw my own fair share. Give me verse 13. No, start from verse 12. Verily, says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Now, this is where we are. Verily. Everybody say, verily. I have cleansed my heart in vain. That's confession of sin. Father, I confess my sins, so clean with the blood. Father, I confess my sins every day, every time, as much as possible. I have washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning, fasting and prayer, fasted life every day. Hello, somebody. You know, these are realities that the devil brings our way every now and then. But this is, I mean, I have never, ever occasioned this before. So he said, if I will say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. Now, this is where I'm going. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Why? Until I went where? Into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I the end, and so on and so forth. But the essence is this. I mean, here was David. David who had separated himself, a man after God's own heart, like you and I in Jesus' name. Amen. Separate yourself to God, fasting and praying, confessing sin, walking with God, trying to do the perfect will of God all the time. And he came across these guys who weren't doing anything like he was doing. And the thing hit him. He said, Lord, is something going on here? Am I missing something? And he kept on asking the question until he did something. The Bible says he went into the sanctuary. And this is what happened. Let's look at verse 24. There was a verse 24, yes. And this is what the Lord, this is how the Lord was dealing with me after this time. He said, verse 24, it says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And afterwards receive to glory. So that's what the God did. What the Lord gave me counsel concerning what I should do. And there was a reason why I had to do that, because, let me not get ahead of myself. I'll say that in a minute. But the essence is God gave counsel. And that was, what was the counsel God gave me? That is a counsel which by the help of the Holy Spirit I've come to share with us now. Because I understand something. When these things begin to happen, especially at the change of a new season, there will be challenges. There's going to be a testing. We found it so in this house over the years. Whenever we're about to move into something new, there's always a wind that comes. There's always every new dispensation, there's a new devil released. Every new beginning, every time you go up, there's something that you have not encountered before that the devil brings against you. And that's what I believe is happening. And I believe it's happening for me, I know it must be happening for other people also. It may not be the same way, it may be something, it may not be this particular kind of experience, but something is about to break. And whenever it does, it behooves us to ask the counsel of God concerning how to do, which is what I did. And that's why, by the grace of God, I've come here today to give that counsel that God gave me. And what was that counsel? The Lord spoke to me and said, you need to see. He said, you know, I went to the sanctuary, then I understood. He said, you need to see him that is invisible, so you will endure. Amen. Only one amen. Okay, everybody's enduring, right? Okay. He said, you need to see. What he means, I was not seeing. And I thought I was seeing. Hello? Give me Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sure we're all familiar. Well, I'm not going to use any scripture that's not familiar today. But I want to bring out here some principles and things that we need to do in this new season. Because every new season, every new step into something new, we've broken out into something new in this house. By the grace of God, in the church of the Lord. And there's going to be challenge. There will be challenges. There will be things that will happen to you that will make you say, ah. Am I going to make it this time? You make it in Jesus' name. But there's a way to do it. There we are. Now it says, by faith, where is it now? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Yeah. I think it was, verse 24. Okay, it says, verse 24. Let's read it together. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. Hello, somebody. With the people of God. So the people of God must choose to suffer affliction. Hello, somebody. But it's only for a while. Amen. There's affliction because you're pushing against an opposition. It says, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin's pleasures only last for a season. But the pleasure the Lord gives lasts forever and ever. But you have to wait. You have to go through affliction. That says, through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. So verse 26 says, Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why? For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Give me this in the NIV. Let's see what it says. I wrote NIV. Where is the... Look what it says. It says, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking ahead to his reward. This should be our own attitude of heart too. To regard the disgrace, because there's shame in Christ. There'll be shame. There's shame sometimes in Christ. The Bible says Jesus himself did what? He said, despise the shame. But he said that he had the recompense. He was looking for the head to the recompense of his reward. There's a shame you must disregard totally, completely, if you're going to get the reward that God wants to give you. Amen. He said that this guy disregarded the shame. Where is it now? It says, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He said, you know, by faith he forsook Egypt. Now verse 37 says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. This is the punchline. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Hello, somebody. Like I said, you know, up until that time, if anyone had asked me, I would have thought I was seeing him invisible by revelation. I mean, I've read this scripture so many times. It's real to me. But if anyone had asked me up until the time I went for this particular, I would say, of course I'm seeing. But I have to admit the truth. That I was not seeing as I ought to see. Hello, somebody. Hello. I'd like to be honest. I'd like to be brutally frank. Because if I was seeing him that was invisible, then all that I saw physically would not have had the effect that it had on me. Hello? I mean, hello, somebody. But the truth was that the light had dimmed and I didn't even know. So the endurance level had also gone down. I know that doesn't happen to anybody here, and it has never happened to anybody here, but I'm just telling you what happened to me. And I'm trusting as I speak from my experience. You know, I don't only preach experience, but I think you can learn something. You'll be able to pick one or two things. The truth is, I was not seeing as I should have been seeing. Now, I didn't have a faith blackout. In other words, I was still in faith. It wasn't a faith blackout per se, where everything is totally dark and you're seeing only the physical things. Of course not. That didn't happen. What I call, how many people know what a brownout is? You know when you have your light on in your house and then everybody just decides to dim. Hello? Everybody, I'm sure everybody can relate to that. The light is shining, the fluorescent light is on, and then something just happens. Maybe they change your face to another face, or somebody calls for NEPA somewhere that is bigger than you. And they just channel all your power there. And they won't put you in total darkness, but they dim your light. You can still see, but the brightness is gone. So you can even still work from your TV or your phone will still be just rotating a little bit slower. You're not in darkness, but your ability to see has been diminished. That's a brownout, and I believe that's what happened to me. It wasn't total darkness; it was a brownout. Amen. And The thing about it, which is, you know, where I believe a lot of caution is important, the thing about it was, this happened after 21-day fast. Everybody looking at me funny. Am I too backsliding? Go on. A fast 21 days, it's only faith black. You fasted 21 days, you're having the faith brownout. It's not black up, it's brownout. Ah, Pastor Wicker, that's bad. Amen. Even Jesus tempted when he finished a 40-day fast. 21 days. Let me you. Hello. And I experienced that. I had it. I had the grace of God. I got the result. I got the fruits of that. You know, that says, you know, your light shall spring forth speedy. Your light shall rise. And I had all that. So, what happened? Again, I like to be brutally frank. And I hope you do the same. What happened? Well, the explanation I believe the Holy Ghost gave me, as I was asking, is that spiritual things are dynamic. The fact that you see it today doesn't mean you're going to see it tomorrow. The fact that you have your light rising obscurity today does not mean that 1 week from now you will still have that light rising obscurity. It's a dynamic. And they have to do certain things to make sure that it is consistent and constant. Amen. That's what happened. Happened to me. Which means I'm still working on myself. But it happened. So that, and I didn't know until it came to a point where the devil arranged for me to see some things which may say, how can this be so? You know those thoughts begin to, why do thoughts arise in your heart? You know? And it was that got me awake. So that's what happened. So, you know, instead of pushing on, I was basking in the glory of things past. Hello, somebody. And not pressing in as one should into the thing. I was instead of forgetting the things of the past, 21-day fasting, because you forget it's gone. Next fast, please. We're going to have more. But let me not say that. I don't know what I mean. let me scare people. You know, I wasn't asleep, but I slumbered. But it says a little. Just a little. Says a little sleep. Can you find that for me, please? A little sleep. A little slumber. Says, so shall thy poverty. He's not talking about physical poverty, he's talking about spiritual poverty. Says, come upon it like an armed man. It will rob you. Hello? Have you found that? Yeah. Says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. That's what happened. Little sleep. Just a little. Not much. Not much. That's why the Bible says, be vigilant. Be sober. It says, for your adversary, Satan goes about like a lion, roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. Vigilance. Amen. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. See what Apostle Paul said about this. Oh, help me, Lord. I trust we're following so far. Everybody's looking very silent. Well, silence, as long as you're thinking about it, there's nothing wrong with that. Philippians chapter 3, very, very important passage. For verse 12, I think verse 13. Verse 13, yes. Says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This is what I should have done, that I wasn't doing as I ought. Says, for this one thing I do. Do what? Forgetting. Let's say forgetting, everybody. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press, which means there's going to be an opposition to hinder you from pushing to that thing. Hello, somebody. So if you decide to rest on your laurels, that opposition has won and it will bring against you something which you may not be able to resist. But if you decide you're going to forget the things past, forget all that you've done in the past and then press on. Says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to do. That's what I needed to do. And I thought, yeah, I was okay. Until the evidence presented me and I hit me in the face. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. And if it's already your portion, you can't change it tonight. Amen. Amen. But this is it. The scripture says, woe unto them that are easy in Zion. Hello? The one place you don't want to be at ease is in Zion. Because Zion is a place for warfare. Hello, somebody. Zion is where the Joel's army is being raised up. Amen. Zion is a place of warfare. Zion is where David took. So we are sons of the tabernacle of David. David was a warrior king. He wasn't Solomon. Hello, somebody. So ease. Now, I didn't say rest. Rest is different from ease. Rest is something that is given you. Ease is something you take for yourself. As David. David was not at rest. That is when kings ought to be in battle. Which means that he ought to have gone with his men to battle. But he chose to be at ease. Hello, somebody. And guess what happened? This thing I'm talking about happened. He lost four sons because of that day. I'm sure if he asked David, he would never want to do it again. Amen. Zion is not a place to be complacent. It's a place of spiritual warfare, man. You can have rest. There will be times of rest. I remember that's what usually always happens. Mommy always prescribed a time of rest for me and all the pastors, different times in different ways. There's always rest because, you know, it's a place for battle. And when you battle a lot, after a while, you want to take a fall. Everybody does it, even soldiers in the natural. They have leaves. They go away, but they never go away without leave. That's what you call AWOL. For that, you can be shot as a deserter. Amen. I don't know why I'm saying that. Anyway, but the essence is Zion is not a place of rest, not a place of compliance or of complacency. It's not a place where you take it easy. It's a place of warfare. It's a place where Joel's army marching together, shoulder to shoulder, each one running, not breaking rank. Amen. And so this is it. So this is what happened. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. So Moses endured self-denial of all the pleasures and the wealth of Egypt by faith, seeing him that is invisible. And that's how we're going to do it too. There's no other way. There's no saying. It's by faith. It's by faith. But you know, how does faith come? Let me ask you. How does faith come? The Bible says, faith cometh by what? hearing. And hearing according to the word of God. In other words, is what we hear that engender should of the word of God that should engender faith in our hearts. Amen. But how many people know it's possible to hear and not to see? And not to see with the eyes of faith. Job is a case in point. Job had been hearing about God. Poor Job. Job had been hearing about God for so long. He actually knew God in a sense. But when it came to the critical time, when he lost everything, he did not see God by faith and what God was trying to do. All he saw was his self-righteousness and his pride. And so he kept on saying, look, I haven't done anything. Forgetting that he was missing spiritual law. And he was his, if you read, I think it's Job chapter 29, thereabouts. If you read that chapter, you find no less than 35 or 40 eyes, knees, eyes, all throughout that chapter. First chapter 29, we can't go there because of time. But the essence is this, you can see, you can hear the word of God and yet not have the faith to see him by revelation as we ought. Because of things in our hearts that block that revelation. Hello, somebody. Yeah. You can. It happens. Because you have things in your heart that you think, for example, like Job, self-righteousness, unforgiveness, bitterness, all those things block your being able to see. Now, I don't know what it was in my case. I believe maybe in my case it was just laziness. I thought it was ease. But it could be anything else. Just being at ease. We fought the battle, we've won. Father, thank you. What a wonderful day. It's a new season. And of course, you are feeling very kink too, because you two have done 21 days fast, twice. As if that were anything in God. We need to be careful, folks. I'm preaching this point so that we all will take heed unto ourselves. Amen? Tell your neighbor, take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. It's not of him that willeth, and not of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy. Amen. That's the truth. So this is Job. He was hearing, but he didn't see until he repented of his own self-righteousness. But God had to reveal himself first by a whirlwind. He says, I have been hearing you by the hearing of the ear. He says, but now my eyes seized it. That shows you can hear the word of faith and not see. Hello, somebody. It's happening in the church all over. People go and hear word after word after word. They hear all kinds of messages, but revelation knowledge, because revelation knowledge takes humility. You have to humble yourself. I said, wisdom is given to the lowly. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due season. You're not going to get revelation if you're not humble. It's not possible. You can hear all the word of the Lord from now till eternity, but unless you take care of that inside, and humble ourselves. That revelation. So this is what happened, I believe. Now, let me ask the same question. Why is it vital? I trust we're getting something out of this. Why is it vital to see him that is invisible? Why is it critical that we must see the invisible by revelation? Well, very simply. Because if you don't see, you're not going to run. Hello, somebody. If you don't see, you're not going to run. It says, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables that he may run that reader. The vision is the seeing. Do we have that scripture? That's in Habakkuk, isn't it? Can you put it up on the board, please? Habakkuk. Where is it says? Yeah, this is. No, thank you. And the Lord asked me, said, write the vision. Make it what? Plain upon the tables of the heart. We talked about that in a few in a short while. The reason why is that he may run that readeth, which means that if the vision is not made plain, if you don't see what God is saying, you won't run, or you will not run as you should. And you will become weary. That's it. Maybe that's what happened to me. Because I was not writing the vision. Oh, shaka kra. Forgive me, Lord. I confess my sins. And I'm saying this so that we don't have to go through the same way. You don't have to get to a point where you begin to wonder, what is God doing before you recognize that something has happened? Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're talking, why is it critical to see by revelation? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start from verse 16. I can't read the whole thing. So you're going to have to go home and read the whole chapter. But, start from verse 16. Verse 16. Okay, well, she went straight to verse. That's very good, sister. Shut up. Is it Bimbo? Well, okay, let me just read. Go to verse 6. Go to verse 6. We can start there, because I was actually going to mention, but I didn't want to spend all the time reading everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For God," let's read it together. "For God, who commanded the light to do what? Shine." Where? "Out of darkness, had done what? Shined where?" And that's the table of the heart. "To do what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God," where? "In the face of Jesus Christ." But there's a problem. Verse 7. "But," this is the corollary, "but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So there's a problem. There's light inside. God has commanded light to shine in darkness. He's shining in the heart. But there's a problem with the flesh, or the desires of the flesh. When it's talking about, you know, it says have earthen vessels, he's talking about the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Trap that light in the heart. And unless you get rid of that, you will never begin to see the light. Oh man, let me not put absolutely. You may never see the light as you should. You see something, but you will not see the light as God put it there for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, now let's go to verse 16. I don't want to read everything. Let's go to verse 16, like I said. We'll start reading from there. Now, it says, "For which cause," let's read it together. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is what? Renewed each day, day by day, day by day." Yeah, Lord. And he says, read it by verse 17. "For our light affliction," "which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." So affliction is working for you. That's why we should endure affliction. That's why we need to see him. Oh, help me, Lord. I need to get this. Help me, Holy Spirit. So, okay, let's read it and then I'll go back. Verse 18. "While we do what? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." Why? "Because," that means four, "for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal." Now, if you read earlier back, you see what he's talking about. He's talking about the light of the revelation knowledge of the glory of God to be made manifest, as I said, in our hearts. Amen? Which leads us, now that light of revelation ought to lead us to enduring tribulation. Look at verse 8. Give me verse 8. Go back a bit. Verse 8. Enduring tribulation. It says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." Which means that we endure persecution, we endure distress, but we will not despair. Verse 9 again says the same thing. "We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down," or you could also say downcast. Like David says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Says, "Hope thou in God." But you see, to know you have a hope in God, you must have that revelation. It's not automatic. There are a lot of Christians that are cast down and have no hope because the light is not there. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. It says, "For this cause," now back to verse, it says, so there's a lot going on. And if you read it on verse 10 and 11, you find out that the essence of not being cast down, the essence of enduring that tribulation, the essence of not being, you know, cast down or, you know, suffering persecution and going through it, is so that you can bear about the dying of the Lord Jesus in the body, so that through that persecution, through that affliction, through all that, you know, light that God has given us in the mind, in the will and emotions, we now clean out this body. So that there will now be a purity of light from the mind, the will and emotions, our hearts. And that same light will now fill the body physically. So that both the mind, the will and emotions, and the physical body are cleansed out. And the body of flesh and clay recedes. Do we understand what we're saying? All that must now be. And to do all this, it says now, we must now no longer look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. Because it's the things that are seen, the things that are not seen that are eternal. It's talking about that way to glory. So as we look at the word, we look at the things that the Lord Jesus said, we are changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So that the things that are seen will be controlled by us and have no more power over us. Do we understand what I'm saying? That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, the only way to overcome the things that you see having any effect upon you is to use the light that God has commanded. Where God commands, there's light there, folks. The problem is, we don't know how to tap into it. Or let me put it this way. We don't tap into it as we should. The light is there. It's in your spirit. But there's a problem. Not a problem. But there's a way it has to go from your spirit to your mind, for you to perceive what God is saying. Now, if you allow that thing, because you are looking at the light in your mind, your will and your emotions, you are looking at the knowledge, the epignosis of how to get the glory of God, and you're working it out, you will now get to a point where you can endure persecution, you can endure being disappointed, you can endure being perplexed, you can endure everything that the enemy throws against you, knowing by that light that that enduring is working to perfect you, so that no more will anything physical have effect over you. You are now in control. Do you understand? That's what he's saying here. I mean, in a roundabout manner, that's how I explained it. But so the essence is being, having this light, less and less of the things that we see have, you know, a hold or ascendancy over us. The flesh now begins to die. The flesh is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of that. All that dies. And it's, folks, it's a degree to which we allow that light to percolate into our minds, our will, emotions. If we allow that light to permeate our physical body by the life of God, that's the degree to which we'll be being controlled. So when the things of the flesh come against you, bam, like that, you'll be able to put it back. And you keep continuing doing what you're doing. But you see, the problem is many times that because we are so used, and God is going to have to help all of us, just like he's helping me. We get so used to the things we're doing, we do it every day, you know, it gets to be many times a rote. Something you just do, okay, just pray. And, you know, because you are doing it, like Pastor says many times, you know, when you're praying, your mind is even what you're doing. So you're not making a connection. There's action. There's activity. But the power of that activity is being denied because the devil's got put something between you and your mind and what you're doing. Has anybody ever had that experience? You draw life and you wreck, you don't even know which scripture you're on. Nobody's ever done that. Hello, somebody? Hey? Or you're reading your Bible. You read the whole page, you can't remember what you read. How many have done that? That's never happened to anybody here. Or you read your Bible, you fall asleep. How you just wake up, 20 minutes has gone. Ah, you have to pack and go. This is what stops us from seeing, folks. I'm going to show you in a minute. Help me, Lord. These are the things. But if you latch onto that light and refuse to allow these things to happen, you will begin to see more and more of God. Hello, so what happened to me? It wasn't that I was blacked out. There was no blackout. It was also a dimming. A dimming. And many of us experience that dimming. We say, oh, picking up. Until something like that happens. We just keep on like that. Until some big thing comes and then whack. And we now wake up. Ah! Kilo Shele. David didn't get to where he was overnight. He didn't get to a place where kings ultimately battle, stayed at home. This is the same man God says he was a man after my own heart who will do all my will. And yet when the time for kings to go to battle came, he stayed at home. That's our Father. You will not be like that, too. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to see, we need to grasp that light, we need to, that revelation, whatever God, you know, it could come personally, it could come by preaching the word, but we need to hold fast. I said, hold fast unto instruction, for she is that light, that instruction is given by revelation knowledge from the fathers. We hold on to it. We process it. We don't allow it to separate us. So we must keep the eyes of our understanding focused upon the invisible spiritual things of light, which are the eternal things that are being wrought in us, wrought through us. As the temporal things, and we do this, the temporal things begin to fade away, have less and less significance, have less and less significance. Amen. And then we get to a point where we inherit that glory and we control temporal things. We speak the word, it comes to pass. We declare something, it comes to pass. Amen? Amen? And this is for this new season. Let me try and put it simply. In this season, more than ever, it's vital to see, I wrote it down, and seek the invisible things of God that are being wrought in our souls and in our members by the light of revelation knowledge and also a blade of experiential knowledge. Not just revelation, revelation. You also see some things. For example, the Bible says, the book of Revelation says that he that overcometh will I give a white stone and a new name that nobody will know except him that receiveth it. Which means that it's a personal thing. You see, you know that you're changing on the inside. I know that I've changed. And that keeps you going. So if you continue to hold on to that, you're going to grow that stone into whiter until it becomes bigger and bigger and whiter. All the things of the earth will seem like, there's a song that we sing. You know, you said your things above, and these things on earth, they will grow strangely. That's it. It's a trade-off. But if you don't do that, the things on earth will take greater and greater preeminence. And you'll be like the Gentiles looking for what they will eat, they will drink, and they will see, and they will drive, and they will ride in. Hello? Hello? That's what's happening. That's what's going on. Amen? Amen! And this is important, like I said, because the invisible, unseen things of Christ that are being wrought in your soul, my soul, our members, are the things that control and determine the temporal that we see. So instead of allowing the temporal to control you, you will control the temporal. So everything is subject to what you say and what you do. Amen? Or you could say, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and every other thing you want will be added to you because you're seeking the kingdom first. Hello, somebody. Amen? What is the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Where is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is within you. It does not come with observation, the Bible says. Amen? Do we understand all this? Okay. All right. Very important. Now, so this is important. Now, why is all this important? And I said, because we are in a new season. And all the other things that the Gentiles are looking for, including Jeep, including 120 million. I don't know why I was going to cost 120 million. There's a mental block in my mind. I know they're going to spend 120 million on building a house. Only she won there. There are millions of things you need. 120 mil? Only. Is that only? Is that only? Okay. To me, okay, let me put it this way. To me, 120 million is a terrible amount of money. I was reading the other day in the paper. Somebody, I can't even imagine that. How do you build a house cost 2.2 billion? How will she get there? Number one. Hey, you spend, they should shoot you. 2 point, yeah, I was sharing with somebody. I said, somebody went to build a house on top of Aso Rock. The guy built a house overlooking Aso Rock. Can you imagine? The infantry. The house of the president of Nigeria, he built his own house on a bigger hill. And the house, his bedroom is overlooking where the president is. He said he can't live there. He must spend 2.2 billion. Please forgive me. I think that's waste. 2 billion? Yeah, a billion naira. Maybe I'm an Ibadan guy. I'm not Abuja compliant at all. But the point is, I want to say with every fiber of my being, in this new season, those who seek the kingdom first, daily habit, continually, and those seek the righteousness of God in the way Pastor spoke to us about on Sunday. In this season, all the other things are going to be added. The day has come. Oh. So it is, reaping plenty. And it's going to happen like a suddenly. There's no more delay. And God gave me a word for us too. And I want to share that word right now. It's a prophetic word. And I've read this scripture over and over. But I mean, it just, as I was preparing and I was writing, it just came up. He says, give this word. Let's give it now. Ezekiel chapter 12. I'm sure Pastor D, you know the word himself. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 25. Hello, somebody. Listen, Lord, this is the word of the Lord to us in this house, in this new season. We've entered a new season. That's why things are tight. Have you ever experienced a little bit of tightness? Okay, one person. Well, you know, nobody put up their hands. Maybe someone just put up his hand. Okay, all right. But this is it. But it's because there's a new season. A new set of opposition has been released to hinder you from entering that season. But you have to keep your faith open. Amen. So you continue to see who is invisible by faith and count that reproach, is working something for a far more eternal weight of the glory. But this is the Lord, the word the Lord gave me for tonight. Help me, Lord. I am the Lord. I will speak. And the Lord is speaking to us in this word tonight. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. And he says, for your days, O rebellious house. Now, when I was, I said, Lord, why is this relevant to us? And he said, what is the greatest in the whole church of Israel, the whole house of Israel? This was written by Ezekiel. In the whole house of Israel, what is the greatest hallmark of the church? And I said, what is it? Rebellion. When is it rebellion? The whole of Israel, at least in Nigeria that I know, the whole of Israel is in rebellion. There's only a very small part of the church. That's why it says that, there's a new grape in the cluster, destroyed not. The Zion church, is a very small part of the total church. The majority of Israel is in rebellion. They've denied the Christ by name, the name of the Christ by which they're called. But in that, there's a group of people, there's a company that God is going to raise up, upon which he will now use them as a template to bring forth his true church. So in those days of rebellious house in Israel, God says, I will say the word and I will perform it. And that's the time we're in now. The Bible tells us that 2/3 are going to be cut off. Only 1/3 will come through. On the behalf of that 1/3, God is saying, he says, I will speak and it shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days I will say the word and I will perform it, saith the Lord. Next verse. I think there's another one. Again, the word. Again, I now repeat it for emphasis. Amen. And again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, next verse. Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say that the vision we seeth is for many days to come. Pastor been talking about that recently. He said, we are now in a time when we speak a word, a prophetic word, that word is going to be coming to pass in a few months, maybe a year or so. We've come to that day now. Before it used to be hundreds and hundreds of years. But in this day, he says, the vision that I see this for many days to come, and he prophesied the times that are far off. Next verse. God says, not so. Then say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. That's a word of promise, folks. And I didn't have this word in my mind. It just pumped my heart. I said, God, this is heavy. So, but I'm telling you, this is what the Lord said to say. Says the word which I have spoken, it shall be done. No more long time between the word going forth and the performance. In this deal, we're going to be seeing eye to eye like this. We will speak it and it will come to pass. Speak and it will come to pass. Speak and it will come to pass. We're in that season now. So, gird your loins. But, amen. That's right. So the question was now ask is, have we seen the enforcement of the kingdom in our recent experience? Yes. In these elections, the kingdom has come. We've seen the corn in the ear. How many people around in 1993? Was 1993 was when we had the Abiola election? Yeah. I remember that time. We went to Ondo. You were there. You were there. You were there. Went to Ondo to pray then. I remember so clearly. And we prayed for peace in Nigeria. That would be a peaceful, fair, free election. That 1993 election is still judged with the freest and the most peaceful fair election in Nigeria. Hello, somebody. We saw the blade of the kingdom. 1993. But the church was not mature then. So we lost it. They stole it from us. Bangida did his thing. He annulled it. And all the June 12 election. And the whole country, it almost, you know, was just God that kept us together. Because of his people here. Because of his company, that Zion church that was building up. But we couldn't maintain it. We couldn't sustain it. Because the church was not mature enough at that time, 1993. Fast forward to 2015. Same thing. Peace. Pervading peace throughout Nigeria. Same thing. But this time, they will not steal it. This time, the church has grown up and has matured. And this time, we've seen the corn. We're still going to see the full corn in the ear. That's what Pastor was talking about on Sunday. We've seen the corn. We had full dominion and we're maintaining it by the power of prayer as we pray every day. We're not going to sleep this time. This time the devil will not steal our peace. There will be storms. We'll have a rest in that storm. Not this time. And we're going to maintain it until we get that dominion every single day. All over the land. That's where we're going, folks. That will be the full corn in the ear. We've seen the blade, 1993, and we went through all that storms and, you know, but now we're back to where we were in 1993, but this time with a mature church in abeyance. A mature church has been raised up that knows its onions, that has leaderships that will declare the word of the Lord without ambiguity. Amen. It's taken that time, what, 93, 2003, that's 10, what, how many years is that? 20, almost 20 years. 22 years. 22 years. No more. That season that was stolen from us, God will restore to us sevenfold now. In Jesus' name. They will not rob us of this dominion. And guess what, folks? The Lord told me this also, just to back up what I just said now. He said, the husbandman that laboreth must, not shall be, must be. Must be. Give me that. 2 Timothy somewhere. 1 or 2 or whatever. The husband that labored must be partakers first. Thank you, Pastor Dave. Must be first partakers of the fruit. That's why I know that it was the devil trying to get me off base. Because the fruit is coming. The time has come for reward. Where is that in 1 Timothy? Give me that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I think. 2 Timothy somewhere. Where it says the husband that labors, here's chapter 1, chapter 2. Yeah. Ah, there it goes. No, it says. Says the husbandman that labors. Hello, laborers. Hello, if you're a laborer, put your hand up. This is God talking to us. Says the husbandman that laboreth may. It's a given. It, and the word cannot be broken. Must be first partaker of the first fruits. I'm telling you, folks. And, you know, I was so encouraged by that thing that Pastor shared. You know, he sent it to all of us. I'm sure all of us have it because they sent it to everybody on the mailing list. About that Jewish invention that uses water instead of fuel for cars. Cars driven by water. Hey, oh boy, it's a new day. Pastor was sharing, I was sharing with mom. I said, Mommy, petrol is going out. They're going to fight too, but they will lose. Come on, folks. Can you imagine being putting water in your car? And then driving. Boy, to me, that is awesome. That's all I'm concerned. Like the other thing, the one thing I saw, it was on CNN. First of all, I don't know about this. A car was just driving on the road, and then the car took off. I was watching on this. I said, a cow? The guy was driving a vehicle, and the car just took off. Tell me it's not a new day. And if that, you see, this one was in Israel. If God could do this water thing was done by natural Israel, how much more do you do for spiritual Israel who is established on better promises with a better covenant? Our time has come. And guess where it's going to break out? From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia where the rivers divide. Our time has come. The husbandman that laboreth must be partaker of the first fruit. Hello, somebody. These are the things we need to be seeing. These are the things we need to be encouraging ourselves. When we see things that, but you see, if you don't have the revelation, the devil will try and bamboozle you, like he tried to bamboozle me. God save me, and God will save you too. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, open our eyes. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. So, question, let's close now. How then do we see and look upon the things that are invisible? How do we see the invisible things of God? What happened? When the psalmist had this problem, what did he say? He says, I went into the sanctuary. Hello? And the Lord took me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, give me verse 2, I think. Hello, somebody. For there was a tabernacle made. Now, we all understand that the tabernacle of Moses is like the prototype for everything that God is doing and God will do in his church. Amen? Right from Israel up until the present time. So the tabernacle of Moses represents all of God's dealings with man, you know, spiritual Israel, and man also. Okay? And it says here, for there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is the sanctuary. Now, this is New Testament revelation by Apostle Paul. In the Old Testament, there was a fourth item, which was altar of incense. So really, the sanctuary has four items. Four is the number of balance. Amen? So to have a balanced growth in God and see the glory of God, you must go to the sanctuary. Now, what is in the sanctuary? How do you see the things that are invisible in the sanctuary? Well, these four items, the candlestick, the table, the showbread, and the altar of incense, all are symbolic of the things we must do in order to get revelation. Amen. Number one, the candlestick. I'm not going to bother you with, you know, the scriptures. You can go check it out. I just quote them. Well, unless the Holy Spirit tells me to do so. But I don't want to bogger us down with scriptures. The essence is what I want to bring out. Because if I say I should start using scripture, we'll be here till tomorrow. So, okay. Number one, the candlestick represents the presence and the illumination of the Holy Spirit. How many of you remember Revelations chapter 2 and 3? The seven churches of Asia. Says, if you don't repent, I will take my candlestick. That represents the presence of God and the illumination of the Holy Spirit that comes to that particular church. Amen? So we see the candlestick represents the illumination of the Holy Spirit and the light of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the table represents the hearts of men. We read it just now. It says, write the vision upon the table. It's not talking about a physical table like, you know, we have in the back over there. It's talking about the heart of man. Bible speaks about, says that the fleshly, talks about the fleshly tables of the heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. So it's talking about the heart of man. So we're talking about illumination. We're talking about the heart of man. And then the showbread, which represents what? The bread of life, the word of God. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Amen. That a man should eat and not hunger anymore. Amen. So we know that the showbread, and it was daily. They brought it in daily. They made it daily, which represents the daily manner of God. And they put it upon the table. Which means that every day, you need to put the word of God upon into the table of your heart. That's what God is trying to do anyway. He's trying to write that word upon your heart. So that from the least to the greatest, everybody's going to know him. Hebrews chapter 8. So we can see these are emblems. We're talking about how do we see that which is invisible. Amen? So Jesus said, I am the bread of life. John 6, verse 33. Then, the altar of incense represents prayer. Now, in the Old Testament, as I said, oh, help me, Lord. In the Old Testament, the altar of incense was the place where you meant to put these spices, what they call the incense, and you put fire on it. Amen? So that it will give a sweet odor, a savor. What is that sweet odor? Revelation chapter 5 says the vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So incense represents prayers. The altar of incense represents the place of prayer. Hello? I'm trying to be as brief as possible. These are heavy things, and we can't go into them. If you're going to do this, you're going to teach them, it's going to take a long time. But I'm trying to let you know what we're going to have to do to get, you know, this revelation, this light of the knowledge of the word of God and the glory of God. Amen. So the odors represent incense. The prayers are saying Revelation 5:8. The Bible says in Psalm 141:2 says, let my hand, lifting up my hands, be as incense. That's prayers. That's when you lift up your hands, it's like you're praying to God. That's what pastor says, lift up your hand. I know sometimes we put our hand down. I do too. When you pray, you put the hand up. Amen. It's like you're lifting up prayers unto God. Amen. Let the lifting up of my hands be as incense unto the Lord. Amen. So here we are. So four things. The candlestick represents the power, the presence and the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The table represents the hearts of men. It was made out of shittim wood, which represents man, humanity. Amen. But it was overlaid with gold, the nature of God. All right. And then the showbread made daily represents the manna of the word of God, which we eat every day and put into our hearts. And then the altar of incense represents prayer, particularly prayer in the spirit. Amen. Prayer in the spirit. So what happens is this. The candlesticks gives illumination. The candlesticks represent the Holy Spirit and the light. And it gives an illumination to the word of God that is upon the table to the heart of man. Amen. But it's only done so when there's incense on the altar. Hello, somebody. So it's a combination. Prayer, the illumination of the Holy Spirit, the word of God in your heart. All these things are vital. Now, what happens many times, that is a combination of things sometimes. We'll get to that in a minute. But the essence is this. As you say, as you put in that word in your heart, as your fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you start with tongues. That, in fact, that holy place, that sanctuary is a place represents prayer in the spirit. But in order, hello, help me, Lord, to get and see the glory. Now, when you're in that place, the sanctuary, you're going to see something because there's illumination there. You're going to see the illumination of the word because there is illumination. It's not totally dark. But it's a very dark place compared to the glory of the most holy place, which is the Shekinah presence of God himself. But what makes the transition? When you begin to speak in tongues, you begin to get some illumination, you begin to get some illumination, then you now add to that tongue travail. It is a travail that now breaks through the veil that separates the sanctuary from the most holy place. So to see the glory of God as we ought, you must travail to overcome the flesh so you can transit from the sanctuary, which is where you begin, into the most holy place where you're supposed to live and abide. In the immediate presence of God. In the immediate presence of God, what you have is glory. The Shekinah presence of God himself. And then you begin to share what is called hidden manna. There's another kind of word. Hallelujah. Yay! When I first heard this years ago, I said, Lord, give me of this manna. There's another kind of word which you cannot get if your flesh is still in ascendancy. You just won't see it. You will not see it. That's what happens. And what happens is that when you go in reverse, the flesh begins to take over. It blocks the light of that Shekinah glory and the Shekinah, the presence of God from your soul. You cannot see as you ought. And instead of responding by the Spirit, you begin to respond in the flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you need to travel to get to that most holy place. You transit through the veil of the flesh, and then you begin to see God as he really is, in his glory. You begin to have a full revelation of who God is. And then you begin to see God, the invisible things of God, begin to declare who God is to you. Because you're now seeing him not through a veil, darkly, but face to face. And then nothing can shake you. Once you begin to share that hidden man, nothing else will matter. You begin to come in with God on the mercy seat. Great peace have they that love thy law. You begin to see God on the mercy seat. You and God begin to see each other like Moses, face to face. And the light is shining. God is talking. How many times you've heard Pastor Joseph move? He's not on your... He's gone in a different plane. It happens so often, of course. If you travel with Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. When you travel with Pastor, you just be hearing, where he is not where you are. You are both in the same car, but the man is in the most holy place. You are just looking and saying, well, praise God. Unless he shares with you, which is what he comes to do every Sunday here, by the grace of God, and gives the word. It's God's will is for every one of us to live at that level. Every one of us to live in the Shekinah glory, the immediate presence of God, 24/7. And then nothing on earth can shake you. Nothing you see or hear in the physical can make an impact. Because what you're seeing is far beautiful, far greater, far more excellent. Eternal weight of glory. And that's what you want. That's what you should be striving for. That's what I should be striving for. Hello, somebody. Do we get it? This is it, folks. So this is it. When you travel, folks, travel without an understanding in mind. That you're transiting from just talking in tongues and speaking into the immediate presence of God. And then you see it differently. You need to understand that where God is far better. To be with Christ is far better. Now, we're not going to heaven, you know, but you can go to heaven here on earth. There are people that live in the most holy place. Some of us just go in and come out. Go in and come out. Now that we are clothed upon from our tabernacle from above. Amen. And the man was caught up. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13. This is it, folks. That's how you see him who's invisible. And when you see these things, when you begin to see by the light of Shekinah, thank God for the light of the Holy Spirit in tongues. But that's not where you're supposed to stay. That's the beginning. Now, of course, all this preceded by the application of the blood. In fact, you can't even enter a holy place except you shed blood. When I say shed blood, I mean, in those days, they used to kill bulls and goats. So we understand that before you step into the holy place, and then the most holy place, you must have cleansed with the blood. That's where the cleansing of blood comes in continually. So you are constantly cleansing and purifying yourself. That's his righteousness the pastor was talking about on Sunday. Constantly. Say, Father, I confess our sins. In Jesus' name, we have a Father, I confess. And so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Before all this goes on. So as you pray, as you travail, you now travail, you now enter into the most holy place. And when you get there, folks, and you see what God is saying in that place, you won't desire anything else. Believe me. Believe me. And this is where God is taking us. This is it, folks. To be in constant in communion with God. Amen? And folks, this should be happening every single day. Every day. There's a travail for every day that should take you from the holy place into the most holy place. And as you enter that presence of God, the Shekinah and the glory there, you are constantly in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You continue coming in tongues. Father, confess our sins, so clean with blood in Jesus' name, and we pray. And all throughout the day, you're praying, you're coming with God. God is speaking, you're speaking back. Heaven, let me tell you, folks, nothing beats. I've been there, and I know it's possible. By the grace of God, I've experienced it. But like I said, you know, when you're not doing the things you ought to be doing as you ought to be, sometimes lethargy can creep in. That will not be your portion. Amen. This is what happens. You know, either we don't travail enough to release sufficient force, we allow them to slip. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, give more earnest heed to these things, lest we allow them to slip. God will give help you to give heed in Jesus' name. This is what happens. This is what happens. Maybe you don't pray enough, you don't pray with sufficient force. You know, you wake up in the morning, they'll pray. We all been there. Fourth word. And we pray for 5 minutes and you sleep 15. Then it's time to go to work. Everybody's looking at me funny. You've never happened to you. Okay. I mean, the condom man should have said, all right. We'll get there. You don't break through that flesh for that day. You're going to be at the very best, you'll be in a holy place. And you see, the problem is that without that power, to even stay in a holy place is very difficult. So gradually find yourself slipping into the outer court. Just begin to recede. Wake up in the morning. How many people know that when you don't pray well the previous day, to pray well the next day is a bit more difficult? Yeah. Carry over. You didn't settle in last night or not last morning. You now want to do grab that for you. Have a malush with you. Let me be waiting for you to wake up or try and wake up. I will knock you out. Bash. So you wake up. Never been there before. All of you, it's a lie. You've been there. I knew. Hello, somebody. That's what the devil does.
And you do that one day, do it 2 days, do it 3 days, and you don't break the chain. After a while, you just be seeing things floating before you, like those jeeps I saw. I'm making it amusing, but it's a serious matter. It's amusing. Eh? Or you don't eat the show bread. Ah, you say magic by no. You don't eat bread. But I say the entrance of his word giveth light. You don't have the word. How are you going to get light? How is God going to speak to you that day? Hello? Bible says, I have hidden your word in my heart, so I will not sin against you. And you didn't hide that word. You didn't put that showbread on the table of your heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Hello? You didn't do that. And you don't want to go and start fighting against sin. You won't even, I don't want to say you won't hear, but you will hear at a very low level, if at all. And if you do that consistently, after a while, the life will just go off. I've been there. Hello? I've been there. I'm telling you, I'm speaking to you from what happens. So you keep putting that word in day by day. Daily. It's a daily manner. Daily manner. Oh, you have pride and envy in your heart. Hello, something. Well, I pray 21 days here. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I give you glory, Lord. You know what I mean? Everybody's looking at me funny. Okay, so the pastor, who you got? Ah, 21 days. You've been telling everybody about the 21. Ah, we did 20. We did it twice. Can you imagine? Ah, we follow on logo. You know how we are. You know. I'm trying to make it funny so you can pinpoint. If you really give glory to God, you just shut up. Jesus didn't blaspheme. He didn't blaspheme when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He just went about the Father's business. And so should you too. Hello? The place went silent. Hello? Pride, envy, competition, or failure to consistently cleanse. All these things, amen? We're going to close now with two scriptures. Well, let me start with. Give me Hebrews. Thank you for your mercy. I hope you got something out of this. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. Very, very, very familiar verse. Hebrews 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and the things that accomplish salvation, though we thus speak. That's why I'm saying that. I'm persuaded much better things of all of us. But we need to say these things so that we'll know. This is a new season, folks. This is a brand new season. We've entered a new day. You need to be prepared. You will not be left behind in Jesus' name. But we know that we are persuaded better things of you and things that accomplish salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous. Tell your neighbor, God is not unrighteous. He will not forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown not to anything else, but to his name, the perfection of his character in you. And in that you minister to the saints and do minister. And verse 11 says, and we desire that every one of you, hello, someone. This is God's desire towards you. Every one of us do so what? The same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise of the glory. Amen. That's a word for us. Amen. Like it is, the number one is Hebrews chapter 10. And let me see if I can squeeze that in. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. That's your faith. Amen. That says Moses, by faith, endured as seeing him. That's invisible. Which has great recompense of reward. We're in a season of reward, folks. If you take this and amplify it, you see it's so beautiful. I haven't got the time for that now. It says, for you have need of patience, consistency in tribulation. Bible says, be patient in tribulation, instant in prayer, constantly giving glory to God. Amen? Patience. That after you have done the will of God, and this is the will of God that you are sent for your sanctification, that you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now, the just. How many are the just here? Justified. So the just shall live by faith, But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That will not be your portion or mine in Jesus' name. For we are none of those who draw back unto perdition, of them that believe by faith to the full salvation of our soul in Jesus' name. My favorite scripture. Well, one of my favorites. I've just inherited it from my darling mother. Job chapter 8. When I read this the first time, I said, wow, thank you, Jesus. Start from verse 5. Job 8, verse 5. Read it together. We'll close with this one. Job 8, verse 5. Job 8, 5. Let's read it together. I love this. If thou wouldest seek unto God. Come on, guys. If. Conditionality. If thou wouldest seek unto God betimes, and make thy supplication to the Almighty. That's prayer. Supplication, prayer, and all that. If thou were pure and upright, cleansing by the blood, purging of our consciences from dead works, surely, no doubt, now, in this season of reward, in this new day, now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Verse 8. You get it? So that right, that way, if you inhabit righteousness, the place of righteousness, you're pure and upright, cleansing by the blood, purging your conscience, making sure you do all the things that God wants to do, obeying instruction, amen, supplicating, praying to the God Almighty, seeking his face with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, says he will make the habitation of righteousness, your habitation of righteousness, prosperous. No lack. Everything provided as and when. The things that the Gentiles seek after will be automatically added to you. Amen? And verse 7 is the punchline. Though thy beginning was small, everybody begins small. The Bible says first the blade, then the ear, and the full corn. We all begin at the blade. Hello? We all begin at below the blade. Because for the blade to come up, you've got to plant a seed. And you have to water it for a while before you even see anything. So if the corn will die, are we getting all this? It's always prophetic, but I'm sure having you well taught in this house like we are, we'll get it. All right, so it says, so though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should increase. Thank you. Greatly increase. Hello, somebody. God has made great increase. There's great increase in your very before. Every on every side, oh, enlarge in every coast. You're going to break out on the right hand, the Bible says, and on the left. Your seed will inherit the Gentiles. God has prepared for us a marvelous place. It's in the glory, folks. That's why he said, our light affliction is but for a moment compared to the eternity of glory. Says because he's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Therefore, look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, subject to change, fleeting, and cannot be established, except you get the things which are not seen, which control the things that are seen. Let's see him who's invisible. And everything else will be added to us in this season. The Lord bless you and give us an understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Taking a little bit of time, but I trust the Lord has brought the message to us. Let's speak to the Lord now. I believe the greatest prayer of our heart should be that we should see him that is invisible so that we will endure. There's an endurance, folks. But I can guarantee you by the Spirit that God is well able. He will perform what he has said. He's not a man to lie. He has not altered the word that's gone. We've said so many words today. So we're in a new season. And in this season, the word of the Lord will be performed. He will speak and the word will come to pass. No more delay, folks. The kingdom of God is upon you. And I. Certainly not leaving myself out. Hallelujah. See him. See him. By the eye of faith. See him. By the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit, the Word, the blood, the Word, and the Spirit.
all these marvelous things we've discussed tonight. And you are, and your beginning, though small, in the latter end shall surely be far greater. Amen. Hallelujah. The song is ringing in my heart. I see the Lord. I see the Lord exalted high above the worship of the people of the earth. I see the Lord. I see. Let's respond to the word that has come this evening. Let's do it in faith, asking the Lord to have mercy upon us. And put a hand upon your eyes, representing the ability to see. And ask the Lord to anoint your eye with eyes. And then we raise the other hand up unto the Lord. Remember, the raising of the hand is a prayer, incense going unto the Lord. And repeat after me. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me tonight, showing me the vital importance of seeing him that is invisible in this day, therefore being able to endure the trials and the testings and tribulations of this present time. Therefore, I come to you by faith, Lord God, to ask for mercy, grace, and help. You anoint afresh my eyes with eye salve, and cause me, Lord God, by the candlestick representing your presence and the illumination of the Holy Spirit, the table, the shewbread that represents my heart, and the showbread representing daily manna, Lord, to be made manifest to me, so that by the altar of incense, which represent prayer in the spirit, especially travailing prayer, I will see you by revelation as I enter into the most holy place to behold your beauty and your glory in this new season, seeking first the kingdom so that every other thing will be added unto me. I thank you for giving me an understanding that this present affliction that I may be going through is but for a moment, and that will yield unto me as I endure it by revelation a far more eternal weight of glory. So I choose of my volition not to look upon the things that are, because those things are changeable, but I set my face, my eyes up to the hills, Lord, from whence Christ cometh, so that I will keep my eyes of understanding upon the things that I cannot see, knowing that the things which are invisible and unseen are the things that control my temporal destiny. Heavenly Father, give me this understanding so that, Lord, though my days at the beginning may be small, my latter end will greatly increase in Christ. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. Rishendara bukudura katsakada. Mide kuru kumba katika sariyono. Rembira malaka sankaru. Father mele gansa kariyan. Tolonkashi. Rembedara lomiyan ka. Kurre katikaba. Rembira mamamai. Rembira man sakalu miyan bari bina mekerama. Mani brambar kudakra kuru biya bambina manamo. Rembira mamakariya. Karandariyama. Rambama. Rambataka. Resebero makete. Bailo. 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 Lord, anoint my eyes with eyesight that I may see you, the Lamb on the throne, in Jesus' name.